Well, good morning. I'm a grandpa again. Yeah. Little Wesley Russell. And at least for a few hours, he was baby boy Franny Gerst, long story. But now he's Wesley Russell Kinsella. So he had a good start, but things have already gone downhill. So anyway, it is a joy. It's such a blessing. And I think about the good things in our lives. And I also think about the hard things. I think about how, as we go through difficulties and trials, pain, loss, suffering, and then at times we'll feel like we're like, man, God is so good. We're going to talk about God's goodness today as we finish up our series looking at the foundations for our life and faith, because we believe God's word is truth. And it speaks into our lives, not just for things of faith, like how we should do things when we're together and how we should pray, but actually how we should live our very lives. That's what God is calling us into. And I think about a couple things, just wanted to make some statements or declarations about who we believe God to be. He is the Almighty. He's all-powerful, he's all-knowing, and he's the creator of all things. In fact, he's so powerful, he just speaks things into existence. He's kind. He's generous. He's also just. That's what we believe about God. We actually believe that he's actively engaged with us, which is mind-blowing if you think about this God, the eternal one, the Alpha and Omega, takes an interest in our lives, takes an interest in us. And then I think about us. Why would he do that? We know that we're sinners, right? We know because of our sin we're separated from God. We're all born that way. But God created each person in his image. So everybody you see is made in the image of God. And they have value. Value so much that God sent his son Jesus to die for us sinners so that we could have a right relationship with God. I just want us to think a moment, just briefly, about what we believe when we say that. That means everybody that you see has unbelievable value, enough that Jesus would exchange his life for theirs. So as you're meeting people, and maybe they're doing things that are harmful to you and to others, you look at the outside, that's pretty much all we can see, right? That God is looking at their soul, and they are so valuable, he died for them. That's how much he loves them. That's how much they needed too, right? The forgiveness that we've received because of Christ, they need to receive that. And whether it's someone that you can't stand, or maybe they have a different view, different point of view, maybe it's politically, right? These are real things, and God's word gives us instructions about those. And one of these instructions is to love them. I don't want to. Love them. Be loving. Be kind. Uh-oh. I'll be in trouble for this, too. I'll just keep talking. You know, it's funny because I was going to actually thank the worship team and the tech team today, and I didn't, and see what they did. Guys, I really intended to, because first service, I have a lot of slides, and they're all over, and if you can imagine trying to get the right slides up at the right time when I don't know where I'm going, I'm not sure how they do. So anyway, I'm going to continue to talk about then who our Savior is. And we're going to be going into Jesus encounters next week. We're starting that. What was it like to actually interface with God? Seeing God in the flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. What was it like when people encountered Jesus? And we're going to look at some of those encounters. And then we'll be going into Christmas. And we've got a great series lined up. The desire is that we're going to bring wonder back to Christmas. You know, and our prayer and our hope is that this year that we would establish some traditions that as families and as a church family that we would remember for the rest of our lives, that we'd actually focus on what Christmas is truly about, and that is the person of Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, coming in flesh as the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Holy One, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That's what we're going to celebrate. That's who Jesus is to us. That's what we declare. We declare that he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the Messiah. There's no one like him. We declare those things. And so that's what we'll be doing at Christmas. And the title of the series at Christmas is Wonder. And I don't know if you guys had this experience last week like I did, but in a moment during the service, I was wondering. Did you guys hear Aaron sing? Yeah. And I was wondering, wow, it takes a lot of courage and a few other things. And I was thinking, man, he did such a good job of showing that he has courage, humility. This is supposed to be funny. Come on. You know what? Can you imagine? Who's scared of public speaking? Me too. Like, and then he sings. And so I thought I was going to follow suit. That's probably the real reason they shut my mic off. Because they love you. They care about you too much to let that happen, because that would be horrible. I love you guys too much to have you experience that. But Aaron's authentic. That guy's real. I love him. I love working with him. And we're blessed as a church to have him as a part of the team. And I hope you're grateful for his serving that he does and the hard work he puts in all the time, every day. And so appreciative of him. And as we're thinking then about the message and what he shared last week, just that God is at work. So go ahead and, I screwed this up last time. Go to the second slide, which is the ups and downs. Amy, please. I hope Amy's still there. She didn't leave after first service. So this shows the life of Joseph. These ups and these downs. Ups and downs. And so the title today is God Meant It for Good. You see that arc? Does that look like your life? You have ups. New grandson. You have downs. Packers lose. Hard things. Right? No, I'm joking, but you know what? How about when someone you love gets a cancer diagnosis? How about when you go through a divorce? What happens when you feel abandoned and alone? Isolated. Betrayed. Forgotten. You know, this represents about 22 years of Joseph's life. From when he was sold to when we're going to see he meets his brothers again. But we learned last week that God was with him. God was with him every step of the way. And that's so comforting. You think, well, why are we going through the Old Testament and the story about Joseph? Joseph was this and he was that. And we get to see the end. Do you think Joseph knew the end when he was going through it? You think somehow he just had this greater vision and a grander? No, it tells us he had faith in Hebrews. That's what he had. And I guarantee you his faith wavered just like yours does and just like mine does. He's a real person. Put yourself in his shoes. Better yet, see the truth about what it was really going on. Because we have the advantage of looking at Joseph's life and knowing God was with him and he's at work. And if I ask you, hey, do you believe that God was with Joseph the whole every step of the way, what would you say? Yes. But if I said, do you believe that God is with you every step of the way, what would you say? We're supposed to say yes. We want to say yes, but sometimes we wonder and doubt. And this story is more than a story. This is God's communication to us. He's writing a letter to us, his dear children. He wants us to know this so that we know that, you know, even when I can't see it, even when I'm in the pit, even when I'm in the well, even when the people who are supposed to love me betray me and sell me, and when I'm lied about and I end up in prison for something I didn't do, I did the right thing and I go to prison. That we know in our own lives, when we go through difficulties, God is with us. We're gonna learn something else. God meant it for good. And that is a hard thing to understand and go through. So, we see this up and down, and we go and pick up the story in Genesis 39, verses 21. And then we'll talk about that just briefly. Joseph's been lied to. He's put in prison. Potiphar's wife went at him. He did the right thing because of his God that he serves and he loves. And because that was Potiphar, his master's wife, he runs. He's lied about. He's thrown into prison. While he's in prison, this is what was happening. Verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph in the prison and showed him his faithful love. And God made Joseph a favorite with the prison warden. So God was there, but he also showed him his love. You know, in those low spots when you cry out to God, you can experience his love. You can experience peace that passes understanding, because the circumstances wouldn't be a time for joy. It'd be time of grief and heartache, but you can experience God's loves in those dips, in those deep, deep valleys. There's other prisoners there, and in chapter 40, verse 8, it says this, these two prisoners, and they replied, "We both had dreams last night, but no one can tell us what they mean." Joseph says, "Interpreting dreams is God's business," Joseph replied. "Go ahead and tell me your dreams." Interesting that Joseph doesn't say, I've been interpreting dreams since I was a kid. In fact, that's part of the reason I'm here, because I told my brothers they were going to serve me and I was going to be like their king, and my dad too. Didn't go so well. I've been doing it my whole life. No, he attributes to God. He knows where the power comes from. And so he tells him, interpreting dreams is God's business. Tell me your dream. And so they do. In verse 12 through 15, it says this. After he hears these dreams, he tells to the butler or the cupbearer this. "This is what the dream means," Joseph said. "The three branches represent 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will let you up and restore you to your position as chief cupbearer. And please remember me and do me a favor when things go well for you. Mention me to Pharaoh, so he might let me out of this place, for I was kidnapped from my homeland, the land of the Hebrews, and now I'm here in prison, but I did nothing to deserve it." So you got this baker and the butler. The butler, he tastes the wine, and then he gives it to the king. How do you screw that job up that you end up in prison? The baker, I get, he burns some bread, whatever. They both have this dream, and the butler gets good news. "Hey, in 3 days, this is what it means, you're gonna be restored." The baker, on the other hand, the crows are going to come and eat the bread that you made. You ever see blackbirds? Like, these are blackbirds that come? Bad. It's in movies, too. The blackbirds come and eat the bread, and that means he's going to be killed. And he was. But the butler, he says, "Hey, mention," this is what he asked, "mention me to Pharaoh." I can imagine, oh, yeah. But this is what really happened in verse 23. Pharaoh's chief cupbearer, however, forgot all about Joseph, never giving him another thought. Not another thought. Joseph was forgotten. So he's been betrayed. He's been lied about. He's wrongly imprisoned. And now he's forgotten. So when we think about that, Have you ever felt forgotten? Of course, right? And we can think some of the easy stuff. Maybe you got left somewhere. Maybe your parents don't pick you up right on time after school. Feels like you're forgotten. What about when someone you love doesn't even notice you? Won't stop and get off their phone for long enough to actually have a conversation. Feel forgotten? Those are real things, and Joseph would experience that same emotion, like, I wonder when he's going to mention me to Pharaoh. Well, 3 years go by, and he doesn't. But God is at work. He is always at work. Not only is he with us, but he's at work. Not only is he with us and we can experience love, he is at work. He's always at work. He knows us, he cares about us, and he is working for good things. I think about a crisis that happens. And a crisis is Pharaoh has these two dreams. And really, they're the same dream, a little bit different, but they have the same meaning. But he has people that tell him what dreams mean. And so he's asking everybody he knows, and they brought in everybody to listen to the dreams, and no one can answer it. And he's a mess. This feels like a bad omen. And so this is happening in the palace. Well, guess who's right there by the king and sees how uneasy he is about not being able to interpret the dream, the cupbearer. And then all of a sudden he remembers a guy named Joseph. But I want to make a point here. You know, sometimes in crisis, that's when we're most open. That's when we're most open, as we're asking, how did this happen? Why did this happen? How did I get here? What did I do wrong? What should I have done differently? I thought I was playing by the rules. And a crisis happens. That's often when we are most open to what God has for us. Can I tell you something else? Those people we were talking about that don't know Christ yet, haven't received his forgiveness. You know, crisis does the same thing to them, only God isn't with them. He's working. But that crisis may be the very thing that gives you an opportunity to share Christ with them. That's been my experience. And that's what we see happening here. So Joseph is brought to Pharaoh. And this is what Joseph said in verse 16. It is beyond my power to do this, Joseph replied, but God can tell you what it means and set you at ease. This is huge, guys. Just like before, God is the one. He didn't say, oh, I know how to do dreams. I've been doing it for years, since I was a kid and then in prison. In fact, that cupbearer, I can't wait till I get power. If I ever have power, I'm going to go on a revenge tour against that guy and Potiphar's wife and Potiphar and that, maybe the whole family. No. He just says, revealing dreams is God's business. Now, why is that important? Because when we do things, and we're kind to someone, and we do something to help someone, and we're loving and we're caring, and people say, why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? Why would you help me? Well, I'm just a pretty good guy. This is what I do. No. Because God has given me so much, I just want to share with you. Then they know why I'm doing it. I'm not doing it to get an angle on them. I'm not doing it so they somehow owe me then. I'm not doing it so they think I'm a great guy. I'm doing it in Jesus' name so that they'll know what Jesus is a little bit like, just a little bit. And that's exactly what Joseph did. So, he hears the dreams. I'm not going to read the whole text, but the one I like is these seven fat cows are grazing and they're huge. And then seven skinny, scrawny, sickly cows come out of the Nile River and eat the big fat cows. And there's two of them. The next one's about wheat. Okay? That's the dream. And this is what Joseph is going to tell them. This is verse 27. The seven thin, scrawny cows that came up later, and the seven thin heads of grain withered by the east wind represented 7 years of famine. This will happen just as I described it, for God has revealed to Pharaoh in advance what he is about to do. So the reason he had two dreams is that's how you can know it's from God. So he tells him. And then he does something. Joseph says, you know what? This is what I think you should do. I think you should store up grain. Instead of just having all this excess grain, go ahead and take it from the people and store it up, build a bunch of storehouses. Then when the famine hits in 7 years, you can sell it back to him. Pharaoh's like, that's brilliant. No, he really did think that was brilliant. This is what it says in verse 37. Joseph's suggestions were well received by Pharaoh and his officials. So Pharaoh asked his officials, can we find anyone else like this man? So obviously filled with the Spirit of God. If Joseph doesn't say, God is the one who reveals the dream, that I'm doing this because God is enabling me and empowering me to do this, Pharaoh doesn't say this. He thinks he's like all the other people who interpret dreams. But he says, obviously, he is filled with the Spirit of God. So he puts him in charge and says, you're second only to me. Fast forward the story. Those years go by. Joseph's in charge. He didn't do a vendetta against anybody because he's forgiven them in his heart. Things get bad, and then they go from bad to worse. And now we have a situation where his brothers, his mom and dad, all his relatives are starving. And so they make the dangerous trip to Egypt. And Joseph sees them. And I could give you all the details if you want to read at the end of Genesis. It's a lot of going back and forth, a lot of detail in there and what Joseph was doing. But this is kind of how it climaxes. When they realize what exactly happens, that they're talking to Joseph. Can you imagine their emotions? The fear, this powerful ruler who could take our lives like that, could repay us like that. Joseph works and insists upon the whole family coming. And this is what he says to his brothers. Don't be upset and don't be angry with yourselves for selling me to this place. It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your lives. The famine that has ravaged the land for 2 years will last 5 more years, and there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. God sent me ahead of you to keep you and your families alive and to preserve many survivors. So it was God who sent me here, not you, and he is the one who made me an advisor to Pharaoh, the manager of his entire palace, and the governor of all Egypt. He'd forgiven his brothers. And someday we'll talk about the difference between forgiveness that Joseph obviously had way before that and reconciliation. But in this story, we see forgiveness and we see reconciliation. And we talk about God's goodness. God meant it for good. I want you to understand that doesn't mean the circumstances that you're in are good. It isn't good that he was sold. It isn't good that he was lied about or wrongly imprisoned. To say otherwise would be, I think, a little delusional. When you get a cancer diagnosis, experience loss, broken relationship, to somehow think that, oh, that's a good thing. It's not. Can you imagine losing a child? For some of us, we can only imagine that. For others, they've actually experienced that. And so to have some kind of spirituality to say, see, it's all good. It's all good. That's good. I don't know how. I wonder. I don't know what God's doing. But don't ever say that. Don't think that. Horrible, hard things happen. It's part of living in this broken world where we have an enemy. And we live with a bunch of other sinners. Those things aren't good. But God can turn it into good. And that's what he does. So when you're going through that horrible thing that is not good, you can know that God is with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And he is going to work things out. That's what he tells us. Joseph had to wait years and years and years. Some of us may have to wait until we go into eternity to see it. But God is working those horribly hard things. He is with us, and he's meaning it for our good. Not the situation, but that's where he is going to take us. That's what he did. And here's the thing. This is how he did it. This thing that God was doing, taking these bad things and working towards his purpose, this good purpose, says this. Joseph is talking to his brothers. You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. God took those bad decisions and horrible choices, and he walked every step with the victim. And he turns around and he uses that victim to be the instrument, the vessel of seeing his brother saved and a whole bunch of other people, hundreds of thousand people prevented from starving because God was able to work in his life. And that's what God wants to do in our lives. He is with us, he is for us, and he is good. Why don't you stand as we worship?
Yes, Father, we thank you for your presence here this morning. We thank you for the gift of your Spirit, and we just ask that you would help us to feel the changes that you've made in our hearts today, Lord, and just help us to live out a life that glorifies you. Father, help us to trust you when things are hard and when we can't see the outcome. Lord, we just surrender our lives completely and totally to you. In your name we pray. Amen. Have an awesome week, you guys.